It's quite a deflated mess, actually. But it's the news, according to me. Good morning? Is it, it's still morning. 7 a.m., 7:11 a.m., actually. Not to be confused with the gas station. Convenient Mart. January 21st, 2025. Here I am. I'm your host. Talking about some political stuff that's going on. I guess there's been some political stuff going on lately. Over the last couple of months. I don't know what... We'll get into it. I'm not sure. We'll have to explore that a little bit. Other than what's going on with me. But I'll be me talking about that stuff. So we have... some very cold temperatures outside. Let's just take a look. Let's go to the weather booth, Bill. See what's going on with the weather here this morning. We have at my current location, it is -4 degrees. That's less than degrees. You go outside, it takes degrees away from you. That's what happens when you do that. But the good news is, it's going to get colder yet before it gets warmer. It's going to get down to -5 supposedly here in the next hour. The real good news is, as the day goes on, we'll have a high of 2 degrees all at the same time. Both degrees will be coming in all at the same time around 2 p.m. this afternoon. And the heat of the day. And then, after that, do we even want to know? It's going to go down to -3 again, of course. And then tomorrow, it's going to be up in the 19-degree range. So it's going to be back into, T-shirt, shorts weather. So we've got that going for me. So that's why I have a nice hot cup of chai here beside me, sitting beside me. And I'm going to be drinking that. Well, now, here's the real clincher on this, though, is what kind of creamer I have in it. I have, you guessed it. Oh, no, you didn't. I have pumpkin spice creamer in there this morning. That'll be the thing for the next couple of days. It's good stuff. I have, it's okay. It's, I don't know. I still like my coconut cream stuff. My backup cup is mostly, it's I would say 3/4 of it, is brand new. Homemade sweet tea. No, not peach sweet tea, just regular homemade sweet tea. Now, I've also got a little bit of Joe Peach tea in there because I had a little bit left when I put it in that particular cup. So I just said, I'll just top it off with my tea. So we have some interesting things to share with you about the I was going to get some audio off the video. Some things that have been happening the last couple of days. One of them was a protest in Oregon. And of course, by the way, we have a new president, fully inaugurated. I guess that's what they call it. He's been inaugurated. I don't even know what that word means. We have, it was apparently quite the extravaganza yesterday. And of course, Joe Biden was there, didn't know how to feel or where to go. He's walking around like a, he actually at one point said, which way am I supposed to go? And then of course, Kamala is there by his side with the weirdest look on her face. The only thing I can think of is she's taking some medication. Because she's having a hard time getting through this. Can you imagine going through this whole thing and the whole time you're thinking you're going to win? They're telling you you're going to win. And she's surrounded by people who are telling her how great she is. They bring these crowds of people. You go to make a speech. You spend 120 days, whatever it was, 150 days, whatever it was, making speeches, getting prepared, having people fawn all over you, the news media, the Hollywood elites saying what a wonderful, great person you are, everyone supporting you, thousands of people cheering when you make your little speech statements, coming out with all these, supposedly, bombshell statements about Trump's a fascist. Oh, we have from the inside, he's a fascist. Coming out to make a formal statement. Somebody who worked with him says he's a fascist. And of course, that it's just, it's. I think that they realize, to some degree, they have to realize that continued rhetoric is just, it's not pulling through here. We've just heard it for too long. 8 years, you're telling us. And I think that there was one news reporter that I heard asked her this question, and I thought that, I think it was Bret Baier, actually, of all people, who asked her this question, and I think that this is the question on many people's minds, and I think it's, so half the country supports this guy. Are you saying that half the country are they just crazy? Are they, you know, he had some names for him. Oh, no, I wouldn't call them that. That's what Donald Trump would call them names. I wouldn't call them names. That's exactly what the left does. But behind closed doors, I guarantee you she's calling them names. The problem is they're basing all this off of false rhetoric, false narrative, hyperbole, just continued drivel. And people just weren't buying it anymore. They didn't see, especially when he's going on podcasts and just being himself. And you're not hearing this crazy rhetoric. Now, there was a protest in Oregon, and it's very similar to the one that they had here a few days before the inauguration. If any of you know anything about an organization called Democracy Now!, this is Amy Goodman. She has this organization called Democracy Now! It is a, sadly, weak organization. Amy Goodman is supposedly this civil rights advocate. She's a Marxist. She's a collectivist. She talks about power to the people, all this kind of stuff. She's an anti person, just anti anything, everything. And this group is downtown here in Washington, and they're doing this little thing. She says thousands turned out for this rally. Well, no. Maybe several. There other news reporters say that there's only several hundred people actually in the rally. There were several hundred people watching. They said there was probably more people watching this rally go by as they were had their little protest down, walking down the street. There are more people standing around to watch it than there were actually in the rally, which is very, it's got to be very demoralizing. But my question to these people, and I think that it's a valid question, I think. What are you changing changing hearts and minds here? Or are you just out there stomping around, proclaiming your little self-righteous virtue, whatever it is you're doing? Displaying your virtue before the world. Let's listen to what some of these people say. I've got this queued up to part of Democracy Now! She's live on the street here. Amy Goodman's out there on the street interviewing these people. And of course, one of the things they say, MAGA stands for morons, something about the government something. I don't know. Let's see what it says. I think she says. But let's listen to what some of these people say that she's interviewing out on the street. What their signs say, and and how ridiculous, just ridiculous. They actually are protesting things that they couldn't possibly be putting together. Things like LGBTQ rights and Palestine, Gaza. Go ahead and try to be an LGBTQ advocate. Have one of these kind of marches in Gaza. Try that. See what happens to you. It wouldn't be the Israelis who would be killing you. Let's Let's play this and just get
there are many
it.
People. One person was holding a sign that said, MAGA, morons are governing America.
Morons are governing
And there
America.
Are many other issues. This, people are talking about women's rights,
women's
trans
rights.
Rights, LGBTQ rights, talking about the rights of
Palestinians,
statehood, and much more.
Statehood.
We'll talk to people in the crowd.
Trans black women!
Trans black women.
How you doing?
They're just shouting trans black women. And of course, there's this one woman there, this...
As
this trust black women, and I maybe that's what she's saying. Was she saying trust black women or trans black women? Let's go back over this. Trust black
women. How you doing? I'm hoping
trust black women. Okay, let's listen to what she has to say. They're gonna interview her specifically. She must be like she's a black lady with a black dress, black blouse, black hat. With a black sign that has white letters on it says "Trust Black Women." Let's see what she has. I don't know if she's the head of the organization or what it is. She seems to be pretty important. There's three other black women around her now. There's one news lady was looking at the inauguration ceremony when he's being sworn in, and there's one news person. I think she was on MSNBC. She goes, I don't know if any of you, the rest of you noticed, but the one thing that kind of bothers me is there's not very many black people, people of color in this group. I don't know. There's all white people in that group. So it's just, okay, whatever. It's just always about race with these people. So if she looked at this crowd, I'll tell you, I'm looking at, you know what, that one guy looks like the one police officer, that one guy with all the, looks like the same guy. I'm noticing people that look a lot like other people that have been in a lot of other rallies. And you have to wonder, and almost everybody in this rally, by the way, I would say it's over 90% women in this rally. And you know they're from out of town. None of these people are from D.C. If they are from D.C., that they're professional. They're professional protesters. One of the lady in front of this lady, her shirt says "Protect Trans Rights" or something like that. I don't know. Let's continue to listen to this. It gets even more interesting.
Executive director of the National Trans Visibility March.
And she is the national director. Notice how fast she's talking. Let me slow it down. I've got playback speed a little high here. It makes people sound a little smarter than they usually are. Let's go back to this part here. Let's trust black women.
How you doing?
Now, so she's shouting, trust black women. I guess she's telling us what to do. So she's just yelling in your face, trust black women. Oh, okay. Well, you've convinced me. What are you trying to do? What's that statement trying to do? I don't understand. Trust black women. Okay, let's...
How you doing? I'm Hope Giselle. I'm the executive director of the National Trans Visibility March, and I'm out here because all of us deserve the space to feel like we have a voice in democracy. All of us deserve to feel like human beings, and all of us deserve to have our rights respected. And so without a democracy, without a...
Oh, this is a man. And they are saying trans black women, basically, whatever they're... It says trust black women, but she's actually talking about... Because there's this... Three or four people, three other men around her right there that are also dressed as women. Now they're obviously men.
True democracy, we all fall to the wayside of a corruption and a government that does not see us as human beings, and I refuse to allow that to stand.
So we have a government that refuses to see her as human beings. She's going to refuses to let allow that to stand. Okay, what exactly can you give us some examples of this happening? Where has it happened? What rights do you not have in this country that you don't have? What are those rights? Please tell me. I'll wait while you list off the rights that the government's taken from you. What the right to have your surgery paid for? I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. The right to have, what is it? What is it exactly? Well, just to be recognized. Being recognized, what's, I recognize you right there. Recognize you're a man dressed in a woman, pretending to be a woman. I don't understand. And that's fine, or whatever you want to, you know, if you got to do that, I guess, so whatever. But don't shout at me telling me something, you know, you don't have the right to tell me what to do either. So anyway, let's continue.
My name is Nicole. I come from Garfield, New Jersey. And my sign says, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention.
If you're not angry, you're not paying attention. I'm angry at you yelling at me. I'm angry. I guess I need to just walk around being angry. Be angry, because you should be angry. Everybody should be angry. Because that's the way they want you to be. Just angry. I don't know what I'm angry about, but everyone just to be angry. Just pay attention and be angry. What's wrong with these people?
What does that mean to you?
It means that you have to join the fight.
It means you have to join the fight. What exactly? Let's articulate some things here. What fight are we in here? What are we fighting against? What exactly are you doing? Because you got like, see, there are these individual rallies now have boiled down to, we need to band together because there's so few of us that we have to have 12 different things we're protesting at the same time, even though they conflict with each other. And we're going to all join together and just have our rally. And because now the money has run out. I think these are like the leftovers. Because the George Soros money, basically, they're saying, well, that wasn't a very good investment. We put, you know, half a billion dollars into this project and we lost. Of course, there's a now sign there, NOW sign. Let's continue on. This is like the ragtag remnants of what was left over. So let's continue.
My name's Anova. I came from Oregon. My sign says liberation for all of us. And the people are stronger than fear.
Liberation for all of us, and the people are stronger than fear. Well, there's some really good. Okay. You changed my mind. Okay. Yep. All right. You got me. You got me with that one. Good point. I can't argue with that. So let's. I guess you won. So let's. So just go home. There you go. We're all convinced. What's the problem and what are you going to do about it? I don't get this. There's another sign. Of course, reproductive freedom. Of course, you have the freedom to reproduce or not. You can do whatever you want to with that. That's up to you. How you do that doesn't, it's called, you know, sexual activity. You know, you have the control over that. You're not just a mindless animal. We have another sign in the back says, "Girls just want to have fun." And then I don't know what the rest of it says. Can't read the rest of it there, but it's of course they do. Yeah.
My name is Caleb, and my sign says, "I am mad."
Okay, this girl's like 13 years old. I'm Caleb, and my sign says, "I am mad." I hope she's spelling it with two D's, M-A-D-D. That's what I'm assuming she's saying. I am mad. I don't know. Let's. I haven't watched any more of this. Let's see what the rest is.
Very mad.
I'm very mad. Genocidists and feminists. Free Palestine, of course.
Army colonel and a former diplomat. I resigned in 2003 in opposition to the war in Iraq. Therefore, I'm here for the People's March and a March for Peace.
March for Peace. We're angry. We're going to fight. DC for Palestine. Okay. This is just the collective group of protesters just mad at the world, just mad at something. Got to shake your fist and be mad because look at me, I'm standing up for the people.
And you're standing in front of the Free Palestine contingent. Talk about what you want to see and what you hope for Trump.
I hope that Trump will stop the aid, the military aid that we are giving to Israel. That is.
This lady's a part of Code Pink. She's wearing a pink raincoat, pink hat, and she's got a pink sign that says something. Sorry, I can't read the rest of her sign, but at the bottom it says Code Pink.
So complicit in the genocide of Gaza. We hope the ceasefire will hold so that.
Climate change is real. There's another one. Climate change, people power. In other words,
just, no more Palestinians are killed.
Oh, we got a tank. We got a tank rolling down. They build up some kind of a cardboard tank that they're pulling down.
But we, the people of the world, have to put pressure.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job on it, actually. It's kind of goofy looking, but it's.
Stop this genocide.
Yeah, she's got to get some princess right on the thing taking pictures and stuff. Oh, my gosh. Oh, we got a drum. Oh, there's Palestine. It's a Palestinian flag. Nothing about, you know, stop the slaughter of Israel. If you want peace, then let's have peace on both sides of this thing. Well, but they
Political
deserve
director
it.
Director with Jewish Voice for Peace, and we're here to.
What is she?
My name is Beth Miller. I'm the political director with Jewish Voice for Peace.
Jewish Voice for Peace, the political director of Jewish Voice for Peace.
And we're here today as part of the contingent with the Palestinian Freedom Movement that is part of the broader anti-war contingent. And we're here because we are showing up.
So let's read some of these signs here. They got signs. Genocide isn't feminist. Code Pink. For people, dollars for people, not the planet. War machine. Okay. Free Palestine, blah, 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 women. Yeah, all kinds of weird things.
That's part of the broader resistance.
I'm looking at this. They don't dare get too high up to see the crowd. It looks to me, it looks like this protest isn't even a quarter of a block long. You know, they're spread out on about one lane of traffic, maybe two, and they're not.
It's incoming fascist authoritarian regime, and we're here to make clear that all of our liberations from
this,
here.
And you know that they're not taking any overhead shots of this thing, so that it's just a mishmash of all these different signs that people have made.
In the U.S. to Palestine and everywhere in between are connected.
Jews
and we
for
understand
Palestine
that fascism freedom. Here, fascism in Israel, requires a big, broad, united front.
My teachers are under attack! What do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
I'm originally from...
Our teachers are under attack. What do we do? We're going to fight back. Okay.
My teachers are under attack! What do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
I'm originally from Texas, but we came from Florida. We drove from here from Florida to come to attend this. So it's been on my bucket list for a while, and I just am really passionate about the government staying out of my body, and everybody should have
nobody wants to
their
be in
own
your body,
body
okay.
And yes. Rights for the same as everybody else. And I just don't think that that's happening right now. And I think that this country was founded on protest and fighting for what you believe in.
Could you read your sign, please, and describe it?
It's a naked woman with. It says, "Keep your policies off my body."
Okay, I think you get the idea here. This is. Oh my goodness. I do see one little pink hat that's got the, there's one of them's pink. The other one's not really pink. It's kind of a fuchsia. But the hats that they were wearing, it's remember during the inauguration, the first inauguration, it was a days long thing where they came in and protested. And it was all these national speakers came in, all these people, you know, this is when Madonna came up and said, "I thought a lot about the White House thing." And it's just all that stuff is, they came in and made all these speeches and all this stuff. And of course, they've lost steam with this whole thing, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. Maybe they haven't. I don't know. Maybe it's just. But I think that the real thing here is that they. The first time around, they were all saying, you know, that he's a Russian puppet. He was a Russian hack job. Because by the time the inauguration came around in 2017, it was, you know, they had a couple months. Hillary had a chance to get out there and talk about this Russian, the hacking of their election. She was still on the scene making all kinds of statements and saying all kinds of things. And of course, the difference in 2017 was that during all those events with the inauguration and everything else that was going on, the, you know, Hillary Clinton wasn't around because she wasn't a former VP. She wasn't a former president. She wasn't anything. She was, you know, Secretary of State. And so she, I don't even think she attended from what I remember. I can't remember if she was even there, but there, she wasn't front and center. Let's put it that way. Having to shake hands with people who, and of course, when Joe Biden and Kamala walked into the inauguration arena, they literally half the crowd booed, which I thought was, personally, that was disrespectful. I would not have booed if I'd have been there, but people have their own, make their own choices. But I would not have done that. They're done. They're over. They have to live with the choices that they've made. And it's, I think that they have enough going on with them. You have to remember, we have to pray for, I fear for their souls, folks. Even Hillary Clinton, I think that she has a reprobate mind. But other than that, you know, I would hope that somehow that there would still be hope for her. I'm not standing here in judgment. All I'm saying is I don't believe she is a true. You know, she's not truly a follower of Christ. And I, you know, I fear for people like that. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying where she's going. All I'm saying is I don't think it's going to end well for her. And I don't desire that for anybody. In fact, I would rather see people receive justice on this side of eternity that would bring them and turn them around to repentance than to face an eternal judgment from which there is no return. And I don't wish that on anybody. So I want to be very clear about that. Now, you may feel differently. I don't know. I just know that I fear for these people's lives, their eternal souls. And I don't know how else to put that. Because we're all going to stand before God at some point. We're all going to be face to face with this. And so there you have it. I have other things that have been going on. The inauguration itself was quite the extravaganza, and I haven't heard all the reports yet. I was going to listen to some things this morning. Didn't really have time for that. I was going to jump right into the show real quick. But the Barron Trump was on stage. Not on stage. I don't know if he's on stage or if he made a speech or whatever he did. But this kid is extremely intelligent. He looks kind of dorky. But he's growing, so he's super tall for his age. He's like, you know how we all went through the geeky, I call it the geeky years. Everybody had the geeky years. They were usually in like 11, anywhere from 11 to 15 years old. You know, whether you might be wearing braces, you might have kind of your body was kind of outgrowing you kind of looked lanky or, you know, loopy looking. Maybe you're overweight, I don't know, but either way, you look geeky. You weren't really fully grown into, like, one thing you don't realize is that people have, you might be have big ears as a kid. Well, that means you're going to be a big kid. And you kind of, people kind of grow into their ears. They kind of grow into their, you know, their hands and feet kind of wrong sizes. Their things will grow at different rates. Even once one side of your body might grow faster than the other. And you just don't, you know, you look like an alien for, you know, for a year or two. Everybody goes through that. And it's most everybody. So I think he's kind of going through those, he's kind of gone through that stage. Now, I don't know if he's, is he 18 yet? I don't think he's 18 yet. So, but he's quite a sharp individual. So it's going to be, I mean, he basically has had his mother's influence more than anything, I think. Well, his father's influence as well. But he's had extremely good education. I think she's been a very big part of the discipline in his life as far as, you know, educating himself and being, having the kind of just academic discipline that he has had is important. But anyway, so we have that going on. A couple other things that have happened. Joe Biden, I knew this was going to happen. At the last minute, he came through and pardoned. Pre-pardon. How do you pre-pardon someone? This is where it gets a little bit ridiculous to me. And of course, the news media... At the last election, as Trump was going out of office, the news media was all over this. Oh, Donald Trump's going to pardon all these people. He's going to pardon all these people. And they were making this big deal about pre-pardoning people because why would you pardon someone who's innocent? If they're innocent, why do they need to pardon? And there were panels, all these big hotshot, high-paid reporters were all talking about this. And how ridiculous that this was, that he was going to, you know, does it make any sense that he would pardon these people? And even though they haven't, supposedly if they're innocent, why would he pardon them? Joe Biden just did that with about 10 times more people than. And by the way, Trump didn't pardon half the people they said he was going to pardon. He didn't pardon his family. He didn't pardon, they were talking about, oh, he's going to pardon all these people. Isn't that kind of crazy? He didn't say he was going to pardon him, and all you said he was going to pardon him, and then he didn't pardon him, and then, of course, that was just a talking point. And this guy actually did it. Joe Biden actually pardoned them like 15 minutes before midnight or whatever it was. I don't know what it was, the last minute of his presidency, sweeping pardons, and pardons for people who haven't been convicted of anything. This is where I don't understand how they can get away with this. And yet he's the guy who comes out and shakes his head and says, oh, he has immunity. He has immunity over all this. The Supreme Court just gave him immunity. Well, you just gave everybody immunity without having a trial even. That to me seems a little bit nefarious. Well, I'm just protecting him because this administration is going to go after him and I got to protect him. He's gonna go after his political opponents. Oh, like you did him. How many of his close advisors and people he had in his cabinet did you put in prison? Tried to imprison him. Well, he's a convicted felon. Whatever. What a crock of a court that was. So, now we know that Joe Biden has pardoned all these people, especially the January 6th people like Liz Cheney and all those other people. Gave them the Medal of Freedom. It's like giving somebody the Medal of Honor. That's become a joke. That has become a joke. Rush Limbaugh is probably getting up out of his grave, and he's going to throw that medal back across the fence, the White House fence, because he's just it's not worth anything now. He's going to be associated with somebody like that. How ridiculous. Of course, Joe Biden received the Medal of Freedom from Barack Obama because he was a vice president, I guess. I don't know. What did he do? I don't know. Did he take a bullet for the president? What did he do there? I don't know. What Probably because he fell on his sword and let Hillary run. Of course, then he did it again and let Kamala run. Run, run, run. Yeah. So we have all that going for the Joe Biden stuff that was happening. And then, of course, then you have Donald Trump. It's first day. He actually, I think he signed. Well, the first order of business, I think he signed his very first executive order was to rescind. Was it 78 or 100? I think it was 178 executive orders that Joe Biden had signed to rescind all of those. And of course, he's going to put back in place a lot of the executive orders he had the first in his first term, as well as with some modifications. And of course, he's got some others that he's doing right away. And then I think there's more to come today. One of the things that he did was he commuted a bunch of the sentences of the J6 protesters, as well as pardoned a bunch of them as well. Now, keep in mind, you have to understand what's going on here. By the way, recently Mike Johnson came in and confronted the president, Biden. This just happened a few weeks ago. Came in and he asked him, "Why did you sign this? Why did you sign this and this ban on something? I think it was on liquefied natural gas or whatever it was, LNG." And he put a ban on it, and he said, "I didn't put a ban on it. Biden basically said, I didn't do that. He goes, "No, you signed this bill, and this bill is what it, this is a ban. No, that bill was for something else." He said, he read in the bill, he said, "This is what the bill is about. You signed it." He didn't even know what he signed. They're just putting stuff in front of him. He's just rubber stamping whatever they put in front of him. He has no idea what it even, they'll tell him, "This is the bill for this." "Okay, I'll sign that. Okay, I'll sign that." He's not even looking at it. And until he was confronted about what he had signed. So who knows what this guy has signed that could be very detrimental. But we have no idea. So that was going on. Well, then we have the president now. He has commuted or pardoned. There's like 1,600 of these people that were in prison. Many of them have not received a trial yet. Now, keep in mind, this was 4 years ago. Many of them not gone to trial yet. They're political prisoners. We're letting go hostages, or I should say criminals. They're letting criminals go in Israel to the tune of like 100-1, I think, or whatever it is, or 25-1, or whatever it is. These criminals who were part of the killing of people in Israel, letting them go for the exchange of one hostage. The ratio is ridiculous, and it's going to be done over the course of next month, I believe. And of course, many of them are going to come back. They're not going to be alive. They're going to be in caskets. They're going to be bodies, not living people. That's why the last week or so is probably just all going to be the ones that are not alive. Question is, why is it taking so long? Why don't they just release them all? I don't understand. So we have that kind of an exchange going on over there. But of course, we have to lock up people they injured police officers. Okay, how many actual police officers were actually injured that day? Not the night, not the day after, not the in the months following, not how many have died since then. Well, we've had five police, Capitol Police officers have died since January 6th in the last 4 years. That's a pretty low rate, actually. The only one that died that day was died of natural causes. And he didn't die that day. He died following day. It was a day or two later, along the Capitol Police. So we've got these guys that are standing up there saying, and then they said bad things about me because I'm black. And then I cried. I sat down and cried. You're a real, real tough guy, are you? I've had people pick on things about the way I looked. as a kid, and I didn't even cry. As a kid, when I was in grade school and junior high, I got picked on. Kids pick on kids. That's what they do. And I don't know. I just how many injuries? How many police officers were injured? And then let's talk about, I can't stand these people who are injured police officers in political violence. Okay, well, what kind of violence was it during all the George Floyd protests? What kind of violence was that? Was that political violence? I think you could argue that was political violence. And how many police officers were killed and injured during that whole thing? And you don't see this uproar. In fact, many people did a lot of damage, committed a lot of crimes, and were never held accountable. And there's no interest in even holding them accountable. In fact, there was a particular vice president who was spending money. She was a senator at the time, or a congressman at the time, who was spending money, raising money, I should say, for organizations to bail them out. And all of a sudden, we're supposed to believe this faux outrage for these guys that have served 4 years in prison with no trial, who are now getting out because they threw a water bottle. I think they've spent enough time there. It's time to just let it go. Let them out. Let them go. I don't condone violence against police officers in any way, shape, or form. Unless that officer has initiated the violence unjustifiably. There are bad cops out there. I think you should have the right to defend yourself against them. I don't agree with this 100% total, immunity that these guys have sometimes in certain cases. If they're breaking the law, if they're breaking their code of policies, if they're breaking policy, the best practices and policies of their department, that immunity should go out the door. If they're willfully doing that, knowingly doing that, no immunity for you. You should be personally held responsible for that. You're disobeying the orders that you've been given, the standards that you've been, charged with. And the taxpayer shouldn't have to pay for your lawsuits. That's the problem with this whole thing, is that they walk away scot-free, and then the taxpayer pays for the lawsuit when a cop gets sued like that. That needs to change. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor or advisor. I'm not a riot specialist. Never been in a riot, actually. I've had a riot. I had a ball, had a riot, all those things. So he's letting these people go. Of course, there's people protesting that. The people don't like that. He's letting those people go, these violent criminals go. Okay, how long do you want to keep? How long are they supposed to be there? And exactly what crimes did they commit? It's time. It's just time to just let it go. Let it go. So there, just do it. Do it now. Do it. It's the right thing to do. just get them out of there. Many of them have suffered all kinds of things in life because of this whole thing. And now they made their choices. But they have been overly, overly cruel and unusual, is the way I would put it, for their punishment. So, time to let them go. So we'll see what happens here in the next couple days. I think that the rest of this week is going to be very interesting, and personally, I think that there's going to be a different attitude in the country. I think it's just we'll see what happens here, but it's going to be, I think, very optimistic. Elon Musk. Elon Musk made this thing where he pounded his chest, like kind of like as he was grabbing his heart. He tossed it out to them, to the people. He really, you know, he did. They were cheering him on, and he pounded his chest and thanked the American people by throwing it. What he probably should have done is open his hand upwards. It probably wouldn't have looked as bad, but he held it out like it looked like a Nazi, Heil Hitler type thing, which it wasn't. He wasn't saying Heil Hitler. He wasn't saying Heil Trump. He wasn't saying that. But he did this gesture where he, you know, kind of did this thing. Everybody, of course, they took this picture and they said, oh, he's a Nazi. Nazi. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. So, folks, it's been good talk to you this morning. I know my throat's been a little bit goopy. A couple frogs crawling there apparently last night. But I do appreciate your listening to me and just going on about this kind of stuff, because it has been quite a trog. I don't even know what that is. Slog. I guess it's a slog and a trial. As we've gone through this last year of campaigning and all the stuff that's going on, I just personally it almost seemed like it wasn't ever going to happen. Like he was never going to get installed. But he is. He's in there. And I'm not saying he's the savior of the world. All I'm saying is I think we got something better. I think we've got something we can work with now. So I see it. So God bless. Have a great rest of your day. Take care. See ya.